And Lord willing, we'll finish with verse 7 tonight. We've been looking at the Christian living and the Ten Commandments. We've already looked at the right priorities. Commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We looked at the right worship. Verse 4 through 6, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness, etc. Speaking of idols and so forth, and saw how God wants us to react to that. Now we're looking at the right language. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We saw a few weeks ago how God is the one who determines what is good and what is not in regards to language. Words matter to God, and they matter to us too. Yeah, they matter to us. How many of you remember somebody in your past, maybe it was long past, who said something that was hurtful and you never forgot it? I mean, we have that. That's part of our makeup. Maybe something that you said that you remember, boy, I wish that never came out of my mouth. Those things matter to us, both in hearing them, but now today we've got so many different platforms. We've got the internet, and we've got, of course, the phones, and we got so many ways to say wrong things, and yet God still gives us grace to get right with him. So we saw some definitions of sinful language: blasphemy, profanity, cursing, lying. Those are the things we looked at last week. Blasphemy, using God's name in vain. Profanity, referencing holy things as basis for truth. Cursing, using demeaning words to insult others. And lying, deliberate deceit. And we saw some very interesting thoughts there, how it's an abomination to God, lying that is, that there's a part reserved in the lake of fire for all liars. That's what the Bible says. There's a part in the lake of fire. But liars can be pardoned. Aren't you glad of that? Man, I'm glad. Am I the only one telling the truth here tonight? Hey, praise God. We can be pardoned for the things we say, but it has to involve coming to Christ. And we're going to look at that as well tonight. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 12. We'll read this lengthy passage, then we'll pray and finish up our study. Matthew chapter 12 is where we want to go for now. And we want to read verse 31 to 37. Verse 31 to 37. And let's see. Let's read this responsively, please. I'll read verse 31. You read verse 32. We'll go back and forth. Verse 37. That's where we'll stop. Verse 31, I'll read. Verse 32, back and forth. Verse 37 is where we stop. Let me begin here at verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus here speaking about our language. He gives a little a side note about referring to the Holy Spirit's power as Satan's power. And I believe personally this particular passage is my opinion. There are others who disagree or think differently that love the Lord, and I love them. But if you want to be right, think about what I share with you. That is this, that the Holy Spirit, the sin against the Holy Spirit here in Matthew chapter 12, is not able to be done anymore because of Jesus not being here personally. They attributed his works to the work of Satan. And they were the works that the Holy Ghost was involved in. And so he said, that's a sin that is not going to be forgiven. However, yet, if they later did put their faith and trust in Christ, the Bible says that can be. But if they did not, certainly that's going to be on their record for eternity. But anyway, that's that. Now he gets into the continuation of where the source of the fruit of the tongue comes from. And we're going to look at that, the source of for sinful language. Then we're going to look at God's cure, if you want to put it in the blank there, is cure. God's cure for sinful language, not sign language, sinful language that God has scripturally for us tonight. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us as we look in the Word of God about the right language and living that moral law for God today. Would you bow with me and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to have the right words come out of our mouth, Lord. Words that are honoring to Thee, that are edifying to each other. Lord, sometimes that means exhortation. Sometimes that means grace and mercy. Sometimes that means something that only You can do as we surrender our tongue to You. Lord, I pray tonight we would see how important that is, Father, and even throughout the day, we would continue to consider that. Now, Lord, as we look in the Bible, may You get the glory in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The source for sinful language. You look in verse 34 there, if you would. Here in Matthew 12, he says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If he says the things that are coming out of your mouth are evil, what is he telling them here in verse 34? If it's coming out of your mouth evil, it's coming from where? It's coming from the heart. He says a heart that harbors evil is going to be a source for language that is sinful, that is dishonoring, that is evil in the hearer and to the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, take a look there. And verse 17 is where we want to look here. Jesus speaking here, he says, verse 17 through 20, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. All right, so his disciples were being accused by the Pharisees. Hey, what's the matter with you, Jesus? You're the master, you're the rabbi. Look at your disciples over there just chomping away, and they haven't ceremonially cleansed their hands. What's the matter with you? And Jesus, of course, he explained, it's not the things that are in our hands or what we put in our mouth that make us evil. It's the things that go in the heart. It's the things that are the source that come from the heart that draw evil things out of our mouth. And he shares that a heart that harbors evil is a source for sinful language. Now, if a heart is harboring evil, let me ask you this, can you see it? Why can't you see it? Because it's in the heart. Yeah, it's not. Now, can it show up outside the heart? Well, others can. Or according to these passages, how does it show up? What's one way it shows up? Shows up by what you say and how you say it and so forth. And the language is one indicator of what's going on in the heart. By the way, it's not the only one, but it certainly is one of them. Are there some things we can still harbor and you know, at least in our own mind, nobody else is aware of it. They can't see it. I'm keeping it just between me and God and I'll take care of it later. Certainly we can do that. Evil is, by definition, evil deceives us. By definition, evil deceives us, that we are getting away with it. And yet God says eventually it will show up. A heart, letter B, a heart open to imitating the worldly, the fleshly, and what's the next one? Let's find out. James chapter 3, let's go there. James chapter 3, let's take a look. And verses 14 through 16. James 3, verses 14 through 16. Does somebody have that? Would read those verses for us? James chapter 3.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Because wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Okay, thank you. Well, the Bible tells us there one of the evils or some of the evils we can harbor, it's not a matter of, occultic things or things that are just so bizarre. He says here simply, bitter envying and strife. Bitter envying and strife. Now, he does certainly share there are other things. Notice verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and then the last blank there on letter B, devilish. If it's devilish, who is influencing us? The devil is. Yeah, Satan definitely wants us to shoot ourselves in the foot with our tongue because others are listening. Others are paying attention. With good or bad intentions, one way or the other, they will strive. There are others who will strive to take what comes out and tear us down. And if we want to be a light for Jesus Christ, that's not the way we want to be remembered. Amen? We want to be remembered for giving glory to God, giving glory to Christ, telling others that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The source for sinful language is that heart willing to harbor evil, and he shares what some of that evil is here in James chapter 3. Well, how does God take care of that? How does he cure us of a sinful tongue? I'll be honest with you, I learned how to have a sinful tongue. Not that I never said anything I shouldn't have said when I was younger, but in high school, I learned every word you could think of in high school. It wasn't TV, it wasn't the movies, although I think that's part of the worldly, when it says the worldly, the entertainment industry certainly takes their opportunity to teach vocabulary to people who watch it. But with me, it was in high school, in the locker rooms, where guys are free to just say whatever they think they should say. And unfortunately, as a young Christian teenager with very little support, as I look back at it, I didn't have a lot of people watching over or making me accountable, but that's just part of the way it was. And I thought, well, if they say that when it's, fun to do something, then I'll say that too. And we all got along just fine. But I knew later that was wrong. I knew later that was not the way God wanted me to handle my tongue, especially. And I thought, man, nobody at church knows I talk like this, but I think I was wrong. They never heard me say it at church, but I had a youth pastor who was organizing our group to go to a winter camp conference up at Kobiak, which is still in existence today. And he said, I think you ought to go. I said, well, I don't want to go. And then he talked to my mother and he said, I think you ought to go. And my mom said, you're going. And when I got there, and I think I've shared this before, maybe you've heard this story, I don't remember every message or everything that happened, but I do remember this. One of the messages in the evening was a message on Naomi. Naomi. What did Naomi say she wanted to be called when she got back to Israel? Anybody remember? Mara, which means bitterness. Bitterness. And as God was using that message, I knew I was bitter. My language and my activity and my heart were the result of bitterness, specifically towards my mother, and blaming her for every wrong thing that happened in the world. The lady who worked to her bone to make sure I had a place to live and food to eat, all these things, Man, what a fool. And yet God, that night when I went before and asked forgiveness, he forgave me. Amen.
Yes.
And he forgives us when we ask his forgiveness. And he changed my desires that night to speak as well as to not see mom that way, but love her like I should. God's cure for sign language, that's what we're looking at. Talking about the fleshly, the devilish, etc., how God wants us to certainly be aware of that, how Satan can influence us and the world as well. But whatever it is that might be drawing you to a language that's not honoring to the Lord, hey, ask God to identify it and deal with it. Deal with it. Let me tell you something. You think you're fooling people. You don't. You don't. God knows for sure. All right, the source, that's what we looked at. Now number four, let's look at the cure, God's cure for sinful language. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Well, the first thing we need to do, of course, is to get saved. We need Christ as our Savior. Without the Holy Spirit, our language and our heart aren't going to change. Not enough to honor God. But yet God says, I can change you if you receive my Son. Titus chapter 3. Verse number 4, verse 5, verse 6. If you got it, read it out for us, please. Nice and loud, verse 4, 5, and 6. All right, thank you very much. So what happens after you receive Christ? He says in verse 5, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Something new happens in us. God gives us a new desire, a new tongue. Now we have to choose. Are we going to willfully choose what the Holy Spirit says, what God says, or are we going to choose what the old flesh continues to want? But God at least gives us, we have a chance now. We have a fighting chance with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? We have a fighting chance in salvation. Letter B. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We've looked at this passage, I think Sunday. But recently, this is that put on, put off passage that Apostle Paul amazingly put in the scripture by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives a great list. We're going to read through the whole thing, starting in verse number 20 down to verse 32. And again, if we could read responsibly, I'll read verse 20, verse 21, and back and forth we go to the end of the chapter. So we're looking at the substitution. That's the blank. Substitution, letter B. We need salvation. And we need substitution with the new man, which simply is, if you can put it in one word, I believe, Christ-likeness. The new man is Christ, living and behaving as he would. In fact, him through us. How about that? All right, verse number 20, and then responsively through him there. But ye have not so learned Christ. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All of these things, this list, you might say, well, I'm working pretty good on a couple of those, or maybe I got four or three of them down, but man, I'm still working on 7, 8, and 9 and whatever it is on the list. God says, if you give yourself over to the Lord, all of these things will be evident if the Holy Spirit's in control of your life. Put off, put on. Now, who is he talking to, by the way, here in Ephesians? Is he talking to the lost people? No, he's talking to the saved people. And you might think, well, wow, what kind of church has people who are lying and cheating and all this other stuff? A church with sinners saved by grace. That's what it is. A church with sinners saved by grace. And now Paul tells us, don't stay the sinner. Strive to be the one saved by grace. Strive to be the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off, be renewed in the mind, the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. Substitution. All right, letter C is saturation. Saturation of Scripture. You knew we had to come to that because that's the best place to find a vocabulary. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to ask some help for these. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Would somebody take that? All right, Vicky's got that. Then we have Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Just the one verse there. How about Daryl? He's got that one. Okay. And then the rest of us can turn actually back to James chapter 3. We'll go back there when we come to that. All right, so we're talking about saturation of Scripture. The Bible says to input more of God's Word into the heart. If the heart's the source for where evil things can come from, then we got to get to the heart. We got to get there and input God's Word. Here's how he says to do it. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay, thank you very much. Great passage, great verses. He says, here's what you need to do. First of all, be a living what? Sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Opposite of each other. How can you live and be sacrificed? Sacrifices are supposed to be dead. And yet God says you can still continue to live for me as you offer yourself to me. That means dying to self, just like Jesus said. Lord, I want my desires to be yours. Would you take those out and replace them with you? And then renewing the mind and the heart, that includes being in his word, renewing of the mind. Philippians 4 gives us some things to think on as we strive to have a heart that is pleasing to God. Philippians 4 and verse 8. All right, quite a list there. The things that are honest and truthful and pure. And if they pray, give praise to the Lord. That's what the Bible means there at the end of verse 8. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, if there's excellence, if there's purity, and it praises God, those are things that we need to keep on our minds. Does that include some good music from time to time? Yeah, that can help out. Good conversation with others. A walk through the woods. One of the reasons I like to hunt so much is not because I want to shoot 1,000 deer. I don't want to do that because we can't eat them all. And you guys won't eat them if we give them all to you. We'll give what we can. But that's not why I go out. I go out because I enjoy seeing God's creation, seeing things other than just, through the scope. Although that's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. But to see other animals and to watch the sunrise, man, beautiful times that make me consider the Lord's creation. Whatever honors the Lord, God says, keep these on your heart. And then number two, let's go to James 3. If you're not there, let's go there. Starting in verse number 8, and I'll just read these for us. Verse 8 and following in James chapter 3. We read verses 14 through 17 already. Or no, what did we read? 14 through 16. But starting in verse number 8, the conversation a little bit before that says this. If ye fulfill, I'm starting in verse 8 of James chapter 3. Right, let's go to chapter 3. Here we are. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain, verse 11, send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Here's a thought as we close out tonight. We need to limit our vocabulary to the blessing. These are the four things that are mentioned in those verses that are honoring to God. Limit our vocabulary to blessing, the sweet, that's the blank, the sweet, the fresh, something that is refreshing and renewing and helpful in that way, and good words. So it's blessing, sweet, fresh, and good. And you say, well, I don't think I can do that. Well, you got somebody who can help you. You got somebody who can help you. And it's a lifelong, as all of you know, it's a lifelong struggle. But God can use what we say to draw people to Him and to encourage others. Let's do that. Next time, we'll move on to the next commandment and God's moral law for our generation. But in the meantime, let's use the right kind of language. Let's find a partner. Let's pray.